This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just after we got off the air yesterday afternoon, I don't even know if it was actually 4 o'clock on the clock, because I signed off at 3:58:05. We found out two massive moves, both directly affecting the Washington Commanders, one positively affecting, one negatively affecting. And then we got a late night one as well, which we will discuss. And wow, the Commanders are swinging a big stick and continue to do so. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. It is gorgeous out. It's almost 70 degrees, windows down, sun is shining, AMAC is here. Looks like he's going to go golfing in the Masters with the green hat on. But that's okay. Giants have done
okay. Yeah, solid.
They've done okay.
Yeah.
Commanders have done a little bit more. Did you see your former quarterback just sign with the Colts?
Yeah, and hope they're saying.
Because he knows Anthony Richardson sucks. I mean, if people think Daniel Jones sucks, wait till they get a load of Anthony Richardson. Oh, my God, that guy's horrible.
But they're saying that may be the first of many moves to start the quarterback dominoes.
Yep. We all eagerly anticipate, waiting with bated breath for Aaron Rodgers, baby. All right. Anyway. We are off and running on a Tuesday afternoon, and, you know, look, does it suck to have those two moves, Chin and more specifically Laremy Tunsil, come down moments after you get off the air? Of course it does. But it also gave me time to gather my thoughts, right? And let me start with this. Laremy Tunsil is not a slam dunk, no doubt about it, surefire grand slam win for the Commanders. He's not. They had to give up 4 draft picks. They got 1 back, so it's a negative net total of 3 draft picks for Laremy Tunsil. He wants a new contract, supposedly. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's a great pass protector, not as good of a run-dominant guy. Doesn't seem to be a hard worker. Seems to kind of get by based on his natural skill and talent. Based on people that I've talked to, based on things that I've heard, and that's in general. But I'd make that trade in a heartbeat if I was Adam Peters. I would. I mean, what are we talking here? There's no guarantee, none, that you're going to get a good player that can help you right away in the 3rd round this year. No guarantee, right? I mean, they gave up. They didn't give up, for now, their 1st and 2nd round pick this year. Gave up the 2nd round pick next year. They got a 4th back this year. They gave up the 3rd, the 5th, right? They got a 4th back. Right? All these trades are kind of mixing in my mind. They didn't give up the 2nd round pick this year. So for right now, they still have draft capital. or trade capital. Either way, in the nation's capital, they've got options. And that's where we want to start. Besides your reaction, this show and the people that listen to this show and call this show at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, to your direct reaction to Laremy Tunsil being acquired by the Commanders, was it too heavy of a price? Did you love the move? Did you like the move? Are you worried about the move? Are you thinking about the gas mask? What are you thinking? Right? What's your kind of visceral, maybe not so visceral reaction, because you've had 21 hours to digest it? But also, if you think about it, and I said this on Twitter, whatever, X, last night, and nobody seemed to be moved by it. We were all sold a bill of goods when it came to Adam Peters. Oh, he's going to build through the draft. That's what he's about. That's his DNA. Well, not really. I mean, sort of, through one draft. It's undeniable that the draft was important for them last year, because without it, they don't have Jaden Daniels. Not to mention, to a lesser degree, Mikey Sanders still, Brandon Coleman. Maybe Sinnott turns into something. Others. Who knows about Jordan McGee? If he can stay healthy, he might be your future Mike linebacker next year. Might have a bigger role. Should have a bigger role this year. We'll see about Dominic Hampton. Javante Jean-Baptiste. Got to put him on a back of a T-shirt for Linnell in the team980shop.com. He loves him. Talks about him nonstop. Right? But Adam Peters is using the draft as a means, as a tool, as a method to improve this team in perhaps a more surefire way than the draft. What do I mean by that? People say, well, draft picks, cheap, controllable, young, develop, you mold them the way you want. We don't know if they can play in the NFL. Just because you were good in college, just because a bunch of draft nicks and analysts think you're going to be good on the NFL level, we all know that guys change, guys morph, guys become overwhelmed. They don't, for whatever reason, hit their stride. Look at the guy that the Commanders signed yesterday. It's taken Javon Kinlaw 6 years to get to be a useful player, or 5 years, I guess. Now we'll see. Now he's got another big opportunity. But he was a mid-first-round pick, actually higher than mid-first-round pick in 2020, 14 overall. Some guys don't pan out, even if they have the size, the athleticism, the strength, the skills, the football IQ, whatever. So Adam Peters is saying, well, wait a second. I can just keep stockpiling draft picks. I can take cheap, controllable players. I can mold and shape them into my way of playing football. I can do that. But as he found out in San Francisco with Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, Trey Lance, and maybe one or two others, no guarantees. Just because they look good on tape, just because Mel Kiper Jr. froths at the mouth over them from stuff he gets from agents, doesn't mean they're going to be able to play in the NFL. So my choice is, I could just keep drafting guys and hope that I hit enough on Fred Warners and Deebo Samuels and George Kittles, which they will do. Or I can use some, and maybe more than some, on established NFL talent who I know. I don't know if they can play in my system. I don't know if they're going to be great in my building, but I know they can play in the NFL. And if my coaching's good enough and my support system's good enough and my leadership is good enough, I'm going to be able to make them assimilate. Now, again, that's a jump. That's a leap, right? Quite honestly, they've struck out a couple of times thinking that. So far on Marshawn Lattimore. So far on Jamin Davis, Fedarian Mathis, and Emmanuel Forbes. Think about that. Now, some of that was need. Jahan Dotson as well. Some of that was need. But they brought those guys along. The first three, obviously, on the opening day roster. Jahan was gone by then. But they brought those guys along. And then they figured out, oh, wait a second. They can't help us. So we're either going to trade them or cut them. And that they did. It's not like it's just plug and play, man. Because we have a system. Because we have a brotherhood. That's not the way it works. But when you've identified that a player can play on the NFL level, you have half the battle figured out, if not more than half the battle figured out. So while everybody might, some might bemoan the fact, I thought Adam Peter said we were going to build through the draft. What are we doing going out and acquiring all these aging veterans, a broken down veteran in Marshawn Lattimore, a questionable in terms of health veteran in Deebo Samuel, maybe not as hard of a worker as you'd like him to be in Laremy Tunsil. One thing Adam Peters knows, one thing Dan Quinn knows, one thing Joe Witt knows, one thing Cliff Kingsbury knows, one thing Lance Newmark knows. Those guys, if we can get them right, they can play. We know they can play because they've already proven that they can play year in, year out at a high level in the National Football League. And again, that's half or more of the battle. So when people say, well, why are they trading all these draft picks? I thought they were going to build through the draft. Draft picks are capital. That's what they are. They're movable chess pieces. You can move around the board, or you could trade them for more established, less riskier, I guess, talent. And that's exactly what Adam Peters has done here. So while it's not the traditional method that everybody was kind of hoping for and everybody was kind of thinking, tradition and the old way went out the window when they won 12 games and then two playoff games and showed up on a cold Sunday in Philadelphia. And despite what the final score said, we're basically within one score at the turn of the fourth quarter. So they weren't that far away, obviously, from a berth in the Super Bowl. And while you worry that that was a little bit of a magic carpet ride, right? A lot of close wins, a lot of great, unbelievable finishes, all that stuff, luck, as some people would call it. We know that because of Jaden Daniels, because of Terry McLaurin, and because of some others, we know that they have a shot. Not that they're guaranteed, but we know that they have a shot. A legitimate shot. We know that. So then you have to take it. You have to adjust your game plan. All you guys that scream about halftime adjustments, like coaches go into the locker room during a 12-minute halftime, which is really like 10 minutes by the time anybody gets settled and done, and you think that they rip up a 80-hour-a-week game plan that they spent 80 hours a week on, and they completely rip it up, and they come up with something new because a team comes out and scores on their first drive in the third quarter, and you go, see, halftime adjustments. Well, listen, do they adjust? Sure. As I've always said, and every coach that I've ever covered, they adjust on the fly. They don't adjust at halftime. They adjust on the fly. Sometimes it just happens to look like they made big swings and big changes at halftime. It's not the case. It's rarely true. Rarely true. But Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are making adjustments on the fly. They didn't think, they didn't know they would win 14 games in their first year. They didn't think they would be in the NFC Championship game. They hope to be competitive. They hope to be just north of 500. That's what they hoped for, realistically. But then when they showed up with 12 wins in the bag and then two more in the postseason on the road in Tampa and Detroit and then hung in there for the most part, for three quarters in Philadelphia, I think the game plan changed. They made the radical adjustment of, hey, and they had already started to do it with Marshawn Lattimore. But now we have to be even more aggressive. We don't have 2 or 3 years to wait for a second or third round pick to develop. Or in this case, I guess for right now, a third round pick to develop because they've traded both of them. We don't have that time. We want to win now. We have to take advantage. We're in a window. You've heard the contract window, right? Well, the same philosophy permeates to a window of aggression. And you can be aggressive without being reckless. And that's what I think the Commanders have been in all of these trades. Now, we'll see if they've got one more big one left in the bag with Trey Hendrickson. Don't think that will happen now, but I can't rule it out. Kind of depends on where the Bengals are. But the Commanders are swinging a big stick. And while it may not work out, nobody, zero people, can accuse them of being conservative. I like the Tunsil trade a bunch. I do not think it's for nothing. I do not think there's no downside. I do not think there's no negatives potentially. I like the Tunsil trade. Do I love it? I have to see it work here first. Sorry if that means that I'm negative. Sorry if that's not what you want to hear. I mean, you can love hanging out with somebody until you start living with them, and then they drive you freaking crazy when they leave their dirty socks all over the floor. And they don't, you know, whatever. They snore. They fart. They burp. And it's annoying. Right? You can love somebody. You can love hanging out with somebody until you live with them. And then it's, can you live with them? And can you prosper and grow? For me, it's the same thing. I like and liked the Marshawn Lattimore deal. Although I have a little bit more hesitation about Deebo Samuel, I like the Laramie Tunsil deal. But I got to see it work here. It does no good for me if the only place that they have success is somewhere else. I got to see it here. So until they do it here, I can't say I love it. I like it. What about you? 301-230-0980. And what do you think of the philosophy of Adam Peters, who has gone from draft, 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 to I'm going to swing the axe and make, you don't want to call them three blockbusters? I would say there's two blockbusters in there. And a pretty good swing at the warning track, at the fence, whatever you want to call it, for Deebo Samuel. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just getting rocking and rolling here on a Tuesday afternoon. AMAC is aboard with us. Be nice to him on the phones. You call in, we'll get you aboard. 301-230-0980. What do you think of the Laremy Tunsil deal and also the philosophy that Adam Peters has taken on with three pretty significant trades in the last couple of months, eschewing a large part of the NFL draft? That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so in addition to the Laremy Tunsil deal, yesterday we found out the Commanders lost Jeremy Chinn to the Las Vegas Raiders, Cornelius Lucas last night to the Cleveland Browns, but they've already struck, reportedly, in free agency within the last half an hour. Mike Garofolo first to mention of NFL Network that the Commanders have agreed to a two-year deal worth up to $10 million with former Detroit Lions and New Orleans Saints safety Will Harris, who can play strong, who can play free, who can play a little slot corner, former third-round pick out of BC, Boston College, by the Detroit Lions, where Lance Newmark was the assistant general manager. So there's a connection there. 74 tackles and an interception last year in 13 games for the Saints. More on him as we go along right here. Again, very simple two questions. One, do you like the Tunsil deal? Do you love the Tunsil deal? Are you not in on the Tunsil deal for whatever reason? Two, do you mind that Adam Peters has shifted his philosophy from a heavy draft, which is what they said, right, and what they put out there, to a, oh, wait a second, we're a contender now, and they've swung three big sticks at established veteran NFL talent. Does that bother you? Does that annoy you? Does that make you happy? You guys all love halftime adjustments. This isn't a halftime adjustment. This is an adjustment on the fly. I personally don't mind it. Draft picks, young and controllable and cheap, and you can mold. Nobody knows if they can play in the NFL. Nobody knows. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Marcus and Brandywine to get us going here on a Tuesday afternoon in the leadoff spot. What's up, Marcus? How are you?
What's going on, Roos? I'm good. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Marcus. What's shaking, bacon?
Nothing much, man. Listen, first off, I love the trade. Mm-hmm. He immediately makes your offensive line group better. You know what I mean? He makes the entire group better. So that should have gone without mention. I'm not really sure of the – I don't know why anybody would be upset with this pick. Number two, to your point about the philosophy, I mentioned this on your show back a while when you had Doc on. I am not a fan of the draft to an extent. I'm not a fan of bashing front offices when draft picks don't work out because you're evaluating them based off of their peers, which are in college, man. Like, you can't there's the chances of these guys being exactly what they were in college are slim. They're very, very slim. So I cannot be mad that you want to give away draft capital to bolster your team with established players who've proven that they can play in the NFL, albeit some of them maybe not on an elite level, but they've shown that they can play. And you bring them in and you see if they fit your mold and your team, not having to worry about if they can compete in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That is why I'm not a fan of I'm not really a fan of the draft, and I'm with Lunell. Lunell said it earlier. F those picks, man. If we can get guys in here that have proven that they can compete at the highest of the highest level, F those picks. I mean, it's guys all the time that go undrafted in the draft, and you can sign them if you feel like you can mold them into what you want to be. But as of right now, we're building this. Our championship window is now. I don't want to waste draft picks on guys that maybe turn out to be what he wanted him to be in 1 or 2 years. No. I need it now. I want it now.
I wouldn't say F those picks. That's not my philosophy, but I would say let's not obsess over those picks, right? And even if they make a trade here for Trey Hendrickson, which still a possibility, right? And that would knock out a second-round pick at the minimum, maybe even number 29 overall. Like, if you can get Trey Hendrickson at 17.5 sacks a year for the last 2 years and a very good career beyond that, if you can get that kind of guy who I know will seamlessly fit in even if it costs you $35 million a year on average. To me, I'm making my team so much better than it was today and tomorrow.
Right.
Not necessarily it's not like 3 years from now, but today and tomorrow. I'll worry about 3 years from now later on down the line. You know,
and that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, we don't, and I'm not saying just give the picks away for just your average Joe Blow, but we're talking about big guy. Like,
look at the Los Angeles Rams. Look at the Los Angeles Rams. That is kind of, I wouldn't say I would go to that extreme, but the Los Angeles Rams finally had draft picks this year, and they hit on a bunch of them. They hit on a bunch of them. But they, but in the meantime, they were busy winning a Super Bowl and making it to a Super Bowl by being aggressive and maybe over-aggressive, but by being aggressive. And I think that is kind of the new age way of thinking. Marcus, I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you as well in the leadoff spot. More of your calls coming straight up after a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, NFL free agency again in full play, as we just told you about. The Commanders, after losing Jeremy Chinn to the Las Vegas Raiders, have reportedly reached agreement with Will Harris, a two-year deal for the former Lion and New Orleans Saints. He was with New Orleans last year. Again, 13 games, 2024. In his lone season with the Saints, 74 tackles and an interception, a former third-round pick, number 81 overall, out of Boston College. Three career interceptions, 1.5 sacks, has played in 94 games, can play a couple of different positions in the secondary. For Will Harris, agreeing to a two-year deal worth up to $10 million, first reported by Mike Garofalo of NFL Network. Meanwhile, tonight, the chase is back on in Anaheim, late night, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. It is Alex Ovechkin looking for 887 and to draw ever closer to the great one. In Anaheim against the Quack-Quacks, the Capitals, and the Ducks. 9:45, the pregame coverage over on The Fan. Meanwhile, on 1580 a.m. this afternoon, it is ACC first-round action, Virginia Tech and the Cal Golden Bears at 4 o'clock. Over here on the Team 980, you have the Washington Wizards playing once again, third game in four nights, but this time the season shifting to Detroit. 6:45, the coverage, Dave Johnson and friends on the call, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday. Larry Tunsil in the fold. Again, I like the trade. Good trade. I don't think they gave up nothing, as some have painted it. I think it was worth the risk. I would not love, and I this is just me, I would not love giving him a contract extension right away. That's supposedly the reason why Houston wanted to get rid of him. There's other reasons, which we'll discuss. The bottom line is, I'm not a big fan of giving people contract extensions until I see them in my building, in my locker room, in my film room, on my practice field. Everybody killed Ron Rivera for, you know, how he handled Trent Williams. And I get it looked bad, and it turned out to be bad. But I understood what Ron was saying. I understood what Ron was saying. Whether you agree with it or not, I understood where his point was. Hey, man, just want to work with you first before I commit to marrying you. You know? So that was the deal. All right, let's get back to it on the phones. We could talk about the new safety as well, Will Harris. We could talk about Cornelius Lucas and Jeremy Chinn out. Get some more details on that coming up. And whatever else is out there, obviously, we're not really talking about the draft. We have plenty of time to talk about the draft. Talking about free agency, okay? 301-230-0980. Let's get to Tom in Columbia next up. What's up, Tom? How are you?
Hey, Rooster.
What's going on, Tommy?
Doing pretty good. One thing I want to throw out to you is there seems to be a certain mentality about, and you hear this phrase called draft capital, or you know, having a collection of picks. But I think in this nuanced NFL where the free agency tends to be more fluid, I think it puts a bigger premium on the ability to reach out and find these veterans, as opposed to the old school day of, well, we're going to collect tons of picks. Because I look at it like these are unproven talents that are still running around the campus on the quad and doing kickstands, and you get an approved commodity, at least when you sign a yep. veteran over some of these rookies. So I tend to think that Adam Peters has proven himself to be a pretty good evaluator, you know, where a player is in reference to his talent, but also where his mindset is coming in. And then I think the other part of the equation is I look forward to Dan Quinn coaching up and creating this competition, because I think in the past we had what I always called coronation over competition. So whatever gets acquired, even some of these big name free agencies, you know, they're coming in and competing, not getting coronated. I think the coronation days are over.
I think when you say the coronation days are over, yes, for the most part. I mean, but we all understand, right? Laremy Tunsil's coming here. He's not in competition. I mean, he's the left tackle until proven otherwise, right? So there's going to be certain guys that you want to call it special category or whatever you want to call it. Yes. But I would say this, what I think and what I feel is they made this move for Laremy Tunsil, right? For whatever reason, if it does not work out and he is really struggling, way too many penalties, which is a problem, or he's just not getting it, or he's just not working the way they want, I don't think this regime would hesitate to say, you know what, man, time for you to sit on the bench. Time to wake your ass up.
Yeah,
you know, which they did several times last year with different players, and you know it worked to it worked to different degrees.
Well, I think the point I'm making is that obviously when you've done some amount of research on bringing in Tunsil in, and of course I think you'd pencil him in at number one, but I think Coach Quinn does a great job of looking every man in the eye and saying, just because you're third on the depth chart come June 10th. Doesn't mean you need to remain there. And just because you got Pelson at one doesn't mean you're gifted this position. I think someone like Tunsil is probably pretty wise to look at this regime and say, I might be penciled one, but I got to earn my keep from day one.
That's fair. I mean, you hope that the culture of accountability and brotherhood and all that stuff makes it so that those guys know, hey, it's a fresh start for you. And you'll be given plenty of rope, but you've got to earn your keep here too. Even though you're Laremy Tunsil, even though you're Deebo Samuel, even though you're Marshawn Lattimore, you've got to fit the mold more than the mold has to fit around you. Good call, Tom. As always, appreciate you. Good to hear from you. Let's get to Shaq, not Shaquille O'Neal. He's performing live at Capital One Arena next Friday after the Wizards game. But Shaq and Lanham, what's up, Shaq?
What's up, Chris?
What's up, Shaq? What's going on?
My free throw percentage is a little bit better than
Shaq. Well, Shaq, I got to be honest with you. That's not that hard. That's not that hard.
Hey, I like the trade because, you know, you got an all-pro tackle. You got an upgrade in talent. And as far as with all three trades he's made, they all been an upgrade in talent. And this team needs an influx of talent of their quarterback at every position. And what I most like about them is they all three are a little rough around the edges. And we need, you know, a little attitude. And I think we got the veterans here that can handle what those guys bring.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because Lattimore, Tunsil does not have – I mean, he has a little bit of a reputation, but it's not the reputation of Lattimore.
Yeah.
And even
like
Deebo. But Tunsil,
yeah, exactly.
what I've heard about Tunsil is he's not exactly a hard worker, right? Like he's more of a let my talent stand for itself kind of thing. I wonder if, you know, like the Bobby Wagners and the Zach Ertz and, you know, even Jaden Daniels and Nick Allegretti and Tyler Biadasz and Sam Cosmi when he's back, if those guys say, you know what, man, like, because there was some question about him bringing down the Texans offensive line room because they didn't work as hard, I wonder if they are able to elevate him. You know, and maybe just a new change of scenery or whatever. Sometimes, you know, when you start a new relationship, whatever it might be at work, in your personal life, whatever, things are often better at the start, right? And then maybe attrition kicks in a little bit. But things are often better at the start. Well, maybe those guys can elevate, and along with the fresh change of scenery, and who knows about the contract, maybe Tunsil walks in here and says, okay, I've got to work harder than I've worked. So I'm going to join these guys. I'm going to go hand in hand, and I'm going to do what they do as opposed to what I do.
Exactly, because him being that veteran on that line, he probably had those guys kind of scared to step on his toes, but him coming here, he's a new guy to build it.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more accountability might be going on.
I hope so. I hope so, because and your original point, I think, if I understood it, about, you know, guys like Lattimore and Samuel and Tunsil being not choir boys, I don't mind that when you have the proper leadership and proper structure, which I think they do. Now, sometimes it can still go awry, and I'm not going to be happy when Laramie Tunsil. I'm not going to be happy when these guys go, you know, side eye on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and start causing headlines. But I also understand it's a different world than what I would prefer.
You know how that goes. Yep. Right after the game, they might get on there. So
exactly.
I don't like you. I don't like it, but I kind of come to that's that new generation.
Exactly.
They got the phone right there. And boom.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Thanks, Shaq. Appreciate you. Good call. Appreciate hearing from you. I love different voices, different contributors to the show. We always try and put you up to the front of the line. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Brian and Greenbelt next up on the Team 980. Brian, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, Brian. Thank you, Chris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Brian.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, man. I'm excited. You know, he does pass blocking very well, you know, and that's what we need to keep sight of, you know, is the goal to keep Jaden Daniels healthy, man, for the next 10 to 15 years, man. So, you know, you cannot deny that that's a good move, man. That's all I got.
I mean, obviously, you know, again, it's not a slam dunk. It's not a guarantee that it works. But, you know, as Brian said, short and sweet. These are the kind of moves you have to make. Listen, they did something that telegraphed this move without saying that this was going to be the move. I'll explain what we mean by that on the other side. And more of your calls. 46 minutes and change after the hour. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app and on demand. Team 980 on the radio all throughout the DMV. We continue to take your calls at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. All right, good to have you with us. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Again, the Commanders have added Will Harris, a versatile safety in free agency last of New Orleans, formerly of Detroit, to help replace Jeremy Chinn. Not exactly the safety I was thinking maybe they would go after, but can still add to that mix. Don't forget, Noah Igbinoghene is also still a free agent, as is Benjamin St. Juice, but I think we know where that is heading. And Will Harris can play a little strong safety, a little free safety, can play a little slot corner, can play linebacker in some packages. Ben Standing put up the snap totals from PFF this year. 352 at free safety in New Orleans, 257 at strong safety, 113 at slot, and 112 at linebacker. So a versatile package player and a former third-round pick. All right, back to the phones we go on the Laramie Tunsil deal and using the draft picks as trade capital in the nation's capital. Let's get to Chuck in South Carolina next up on the Odyssey app. Chuck, how are you?
Hey, Chris. It's been a minute, man.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Chuck? How have you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. This is how I feel about the entire situation. We finally got somebody in the front office that is competent of making deals and in every situation or whatever, and also evaluating talent and, you know, making the best of each situation or whatever. And, you know, like you said, the situation changed, and it changed quickly because we ended up in the NFC Championship game last year. So realizing that, you know, we needed certain things and we needed certain things right away, the trade for Tunsil, I love it. He's one of the best left tackles in the game. And I feel like he's going right away. He's going to be a plug and play and he's going to be good for Jaden Daniels. He's going to be a leader. Not only that, we have the right people in place on our team already because our locker room is already is we have that gel in our locker room, mm-hmm. you know, so that brotherhood type thing. So we don't have – there's no way we're going to have that – outside interference coming in. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Listen, we can't automatically say there's not going to be any issues or any problems, but what you do feel good about, you know, Chuck, is like if a move like this was made, say, to replace Trent Williams back in 2020, I don't think they would have the fabric, the culture, the brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, the stability, the mental maturity, if you will, the leadership to deal with it on a day-in, day-out basis. But now they do. Now they do. There is no doubt about that.
Right. We have the leadership in place. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, with the pieces – I mean, not the pieces, but the moves that we've made
mm-hmm. –
you know, we don't need a whole lot. We need some more things via whether it's, you know, free agency. You know, we need edge or whatever. But I'll say this. I can't see us going in the opposite direction. I don't see us being worse this coming season. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would say this, and it's obviously early to do this, but it's going to be hard to win 12 games again. Hard. Not impossible. Hard. But if you can win 11 games, even mm-hmm. though that's a step back, according to some, you know, if you win 11 games legitimately, not with smoke and mirrors and not with miracles and whatever –
yeah.
You know, you can make an argument that this team, that team, would be better than last year's team. So, you know, it just kind of depends on your perspective on things. Chuck, good to hear from you. Appreciate you.
Let you run here
so we can get to somebody else here before the top of the hour. And that somebody else is Dontell in Frederick. Real quickly here before the top of the 2 o'clock hour. What's up, Dontell? How are you?
All right, Chris. All right. See, my man Doc ain't in the house today. How you been doing?
Well, yeah. You know, like, I guess, like, without going too much inside radio, you know, that was kind of like a football season deal, as it's been explained to me. So, you know, can't say that it won't happen again anytime soon. But for right now, as far as I know, that was kind of a football season deal. So,
okay, Chris. Let me do this real quick. First of all, I think we're stealing because every move that he's made so far, there's not a move that he's made that doesn't get my stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a nobody, but it just seems like he knows what he's doing. But I wanted to reiterate something because I got bashed a couple weeks ago when I said Adam Peters is not known for his drafting. He's known for his free agency stuff. And then a whole bunch of people came on there and act like I said the man can't draft, which, you know, it still is not his forte. He goes out and he builds teams in free agency,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what he's doing now. Now, I'm not saying that he can't draft, but enlighten me and tell me who is one standout that he's actually drafted besides Jaden Daniels, who was the number two pick.
Well, if you look in San Francisco, we can't say that that they didn't draft standouts. I mean, Fred Warner, obviously, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Brock Purdy can be considered that. But what I would say is your better point here is not that he's just a draft guy, not that he's a free agent guy. It's that he will build a roster in three different ways: draft, free agency, and bingo, trades. And there's three ways to skin a cat, and he's doing all three.
Right. I mean, I love the guy, man, but I just wanted – I got bashed for saying that, and I'm not saying that he can't draft.
Mm.
But when he took Trent Williams in, when he got Christian McCaffrey, these are the things that sent San Francisco over the top.
Yes, but those are trades, right? Think about that. And now,
he's
not totally in control in San Francisco, but he had a heavy, heavy input. But he learned from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch that there's three methods, not two, not one. Three. And just because he said, I want to build through the draft, yes, that is the core philosophy, but that's not the only philosophy. That's not the only means and method. Because again, as we started off the show, and I think others have backed it up, and it sounds like obviously you feel the same way. First of all, he hasn't been a slam dunk on all of his picks, number one. Number two, And that's not all his fault. Number two, again, you don't know when a dude looks great on tape but plays at North Dakota State. It is hard to figure out whether he can make that adjustment to playing in the NFL. And that's, you know, again, that's why I don't go as crazy with the draft as others do, because there's just so much variable and so much variance. I'd rather put my eggs, again, more towards free agency and the trade market as opposed to the draft, because at least you know you can control a little bit more. And it sounds like, you know, mostly we're on the same page. I knew what you were talking about, D. Nobody's saying that he can't draft. What we can say and what is fair, but what people don't want to hear is he ain't perfect, right? And he's never claimed to be perfect. Nobody should think he's perfect, and he won't be perfect. But he's damn good. He's damn good, but he's going to make mistakes. Guys are not going to work out, even by a trade, even by free agency. And that's already happened here. I appreciate you, as always. We'll get to D.C. and Calvert on the other side. We'll get to what Pat McAfee, Ian Rappaport, and...